So we have reached the second Saturday of Advent, our serious thinking time in the Christian calendar of 4 weeks, when we prepare for the birth of Jesus, our Saviour, at Christmas. Our first reading from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 to 11, in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, shows how God is ready to comfort his people. Jerusalem may have sinned in the past, but her sin has been paid for. Indeed, it adds that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all she did wrong. Now, says the Lord, a messenger will be sent to make straight the way of the Lord. Christians have always seen John the Baptist, cousin to Jesus, as the person who was going to do this. John was the elder by 6 months, and his mother was with Elizabeth, a kinswoman to Mary. At that time, of course, if someone from the imperial palace in Rome or any foreign dignitary wanted to visit a part of the kingdom, then there would always be someone sent ahead to fill in any potholes along the route, so that his chariot and the chariots of his entourage would be able to travel more smoothly. John the Baptist is seen by Christians as the person who, figuratively speaking, smoothed the way for Jesus. They believe that Isaiah was talking about Jesus when he wrote that there was good news coming about God's reconciliation with his people, and that he would carry them all close to his heart. Christians today often shy away from thinking and talking about God's judgment. We often seem to prefer to talk about God's love and forgiveness instead. However, the Old Testament prophets were not slow to point out that there was a price to be paid for deliberate wrongdoing. If Christian pastors and preachers mention this in our modern world, however, they are often considered to be very old-fashioned and all about hellfire and damnation. It is interesting that in our second reading of today, from St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 1 to 11, the first mention of John the Baptist contains a reference not only to his coming to get the way ready for the Lord, but to his preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. It does not say that John was preaching a baptism of forgiveness for sins without mentioning the need for everyone to repent of their sins. Modern life doesn't allow for repentance very much. Preachers and prelates don't feel comfortable anymore if they mention, as I say, judgment. They believe that then there is an outdated concept about which people simply do not wish to hear. However, if we worship a perfect God who wishes us to live as perfectly as we can, and to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, comfort the lost and lonely, and to love our neighbour as ourselves, then we know we cannot ignore the second part of this message. Yes, we are loved and comforted, but no, we cannot forget that we will be brought before God to be judged, and that there will be consequences if we are found wanting. It doesn't mean, of course, that if we haven't continued to try, that would be the same thing. It just says, if we haven't bothered, basically. Exactly how such a judgment will take place, either for ourselves individually or collectively, at the end of time, isn't made clear. The Gospels, especially John's Gospel, all make it plain, though, that it is the sole promise of God the Father, to know when and where it will occur. Or occur, it undoubtedly will. As one cleric once put it, God loves those who try. God hates those who don't. So there are two parts then to our understanding of this. Our individual effort with God's help, and our individual judgment with divine mercy if we have made an attempt at doing his will in our lives. Last week's Gospel reading from St. Matthew set out what the requirements are. The basic ones already mentioned. We are then, it's emphasized many times in the Bible, we are asked to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, give a drink to the thirsty, and to visit those who are sick and hurting. Today's reading shows John the Baptist reminding everyone that these requirements were already set down in the Old Testament and are to be continued in the era of the new. He adds in verse 7, after me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Next week in Advent 3, we will hear in more detail just what John the Baptist preached and how, as the last of the prophets in the Old Testament, he was ushering in the reign of Jesus of the Son. It is always praying that we will be ready this Christmas for the continued reign of Jesus of the Son. Amen.